Blog Talk Radio.
Here I am.
okay. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Bismillah. In the name of Allah, in translation, good evening to everyone. I would like to greet you all in, you know, the salutations of Assalamu alaikum and Salam. And in translation, Assalamu alaikum is the salutations and greetings in which a Muslim extends to one another and asking that God place his peace and his security upon you. And salam is peace, in which we say to those who, you know, may not believe as I believe. And so, you know, I'm wishing peace upon us all. I'm grateful to be here tonight and joining me. I'm grateful that you're able to join me. We welcome you to another night of Point of Impact, Point of Impact podcast with your host, Derek Malai Hansford. You know what I'm saying? That's right. That's me, that Patterson cat. You know what I'm saying? That young dude from Patterson, New Jersey. Yeah, I'm doing my own little podcast. And I'd like to be thankful to this presentation is presented to you all from Randy J. Sean Jackson. And we're gonna get it off live tonight. We're gonna talk about a few things. You know, most importantly tonight, you know, I want everybody to remember something. I'm grateful and blessed to have both of my parents. And you know, they are something else, both of them. But I'm grateful to have them. As most of you may know of my story, I served 25 years in detention in prison. And in Virginia, you know, I'm grateful to have come home from that experience and survived that experience to have my mom and my dad still in my life today. And, you know, I'm truly grateful for that. I lost my grandmother and my dear Aunt Lorraine, who I love very, very much. I lost them both. And they were the most immediate people that I lost throughout my incarceration. And I dearly miss them. But my point in being is that, you know, I'm traveling right now. So, and I had to travel because why? Mother calls. So I had to answer the call to my mother and, you know, attend to her needs. And so we're out traveling together tonight. And I'm grateful that I can have you with me. We have a wonderful show tonight. Be it the will of Allah, be it the will of God, we should have a call in from our guest tonight, Brother Mike M. Dot, who is the owner and founder of Ian and Barber Lounge, who is also my partner and brother in business as well as family. You know, he's my youngest brother. We also, you know, come together and strive to help the community with Community United Focus Cuffs, which is my nonprofit organization. But we do all the work that we can in the community in order to benefit the people. And we work together, but he's supposed to be joining us tonight. And we're going to venture into the affair of entrepreneurship and the struggles and hardships that come with a minority, a black man, especially a man coming out of prison and things of that nature, striving to make a change in his life. It's, you know, certain that he has something that he needs for himself. Excuse me, y'all. Mom? I need my mother. Mom? Okay, so here, I'm going to join you all back outside, okay? And then get this off to my mother. But now, like I was saying, so we're going to discuss the issue of entrepreneurship and look into and explore, you know, what goes on in that experience. So we're going to talk about a few things about that. But before we begin talking, I just wanted to, you know, remind you all that, you know, remember, man, there's some things going on in our society that we really need to contemplate on. And many of us here in America, no matter where you're from in this country, you have experienced the harshness and the oppression and the injustice of racism and racial indifference in this country. And black people in general, we've suffered gravely from this, you know, from, you know, slavery to segregation to now, which I like to call the debt peonage era, you know, because that's exactly what it is. It's another form of slavery which is induced upon us and our people, you know, and, you know, where you see mass incarceration and, you know, people constantly being placed on different types of supervision within this country, of judicial supervision, and it's ridiculous. But these are some of the issues that we go through in this country, and I want you all to be mindful that, you know, we have a lot of divisions in our community as a nationality of people. And these divisions, we need to really work hard to remove them and distinct of these divisions and from our communities. You know, it doesn't matter what faith or religion or anything you come from. You know, it's all irrelevant what your political standpoint is and all of that. Because at the end of the day, all of that is irrelevant to the fact that still being, you know, in situations where injustice is incurring upon you because of your nationality. And these issues really need to be addressed. And so I'm speaking to you tonight to remind you that, hey, I don't know what your status is. I don't know what your financial situation is. I don't know what your social condition is, but we are all in the same boat. And we're all paddling up the same river. No matter how you want to draw it up, we're all paddling up the same river. And until we realize that, and only then will we be able to impact our situation to bring about change. You see, it's not going to come about by individual pockets, moving here, moving there. We have to come together collectively, not in a violent manner, not in a manner of aggressiveness, but intellectually and, most importantly, domestically, to resolve these issues that are continuing to suppress and oppress our community and our people, all right, and people in general, you know, because it affects, you know, white people too. When the injustice is incurred to us, an injustice to anyone is an injustice everywhere. So you have to keep this in mind, and we really have to take this into consideration. And I'm just, you know, striving to encourage and motivate everyone to, you know, consider these facts and strive towards, you know, change and implementing change in our lives so that we can do things in a better way to achieve the goals that we're striving for better economical situations, social conditions, you know, same living conditions, educational situation, you know, conditions, all of these things. We need to come together collectively as a body, approach these issues and force this government to do what they are supposed to be doing. And that is assuring that we have the same opportunities, the same availabilities as every other nationality of people in this country. Okay? So I'm just speaking in that terms, and I'm hoping, you know, that something I said is ignited in you, you know, the response to, oh, whatever issues you got, like, we got to stop it. Like, yo, we killing each other. Like, tremendously throughout. I mean, you go in major cities, Chicago, Philadelphia, California, here in Virginia, Jersey, you know, in Patterson, it's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the killing, though, it's ridiculous. And who else would the crime be against? Because we're perpetuating the crime upon those who are in our vicinity. And that's one another, each other. So at the end of the day, we really need to focus and strive to sit down and assess our circumstances and situation and realize the greater need of coming together to resolve these issues. And another situation that is, you know, aside from the violence, the drug issue. Like, we really have to work hard on removing, you know, drugs and intoxicants from our community and our culture. Like, these are instruments of death. You know, low living. You know, drugs do not create a high standard. And we need to remove this from our community. And I am an advocate against drug dealing and drug selling and drug using. And I once contributed to the effects of drugs, you know, harming our community. And now I'm just telling you that we can do better. We can do better. And so I'm praying that we all will come together to resolve these issues. Okay? That's my hopes and concerns that we'll come together to remove these issues and as a community fight together to resolve and create a better environment for our families and the ones with our children, the people we love. Okay? So with that, we're gonna take a slight pause. We're gonna take a slight pause and come back. And hopefully our guests will be able to join us in a few minutes. We're going to take a little 3-minute break, okay? And then we'll come back and tune back in. How about that? All right? Okay.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
Again, I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future's scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
God. I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Okay, okay. What's good? What's good? Salams, everyone. This is your host again, Derek Malai Hansford. And we here tonight on Point of Impact, you know, podcast live. You know, I'm in transit tonight talking with you and enjoying this opportunity to be here with you tonight. And I give praise to God, you know, to have this opportunity. I'd like to give a notice and thanks to Boomerang Products, Skin Tech, which is a product that provides 4 hours. 4 hours of, you know, protection from COVID. 4 hours of protection from COVID. So listen, anybody interested in this product, I'm telling you, if you're, you know, if you're a person that works around people and you're in contact with people constantly, you know, wearing a mask is good, but I'm guaranteeing you the Skin Tech, you definitely want to get this product. And you definitely want to find out how you can get this product. You can just contact me at 757-589-9938. That's 757-589-9938. Okay? And just call me, and we can definitely get that product to you immediately. And they are a sponsor of our program, along with Authentically Me and Ian and Barber Lounge. And that's what we're doing. For people in the area, I want to let you know, for people in the Norfolk area, and if you're visiting in the Norfolk area, there's an event going on. It's called Stop the Violence Community Forum. Okay? It's called the Stop the Violence Community Forum, and it's a committee of organizations have come together with city leaders in a coalition of organizations, including Stop the Violence Team, Stop the Violence Guns Down, Tidewater Connection Alumni Association, We Matter Team, and of course my organization, Community United Focus, CUFS, and the Salvation Army Croc Center. And it will be at the Salvation Army Croc Center, which is located on on Princess Anne. And Ballantyne. It's located on Princess Anne and Ballantyne, and the event will be in the Croc Center Gym, where they hold approximately like 200, 300 people. And then they have also, it will be there from on Saturday night, November the 13th. From 2 o'clock p.m., from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Free to the community. It is free to the community. Please, I'm encouraging you to come out to this forum to confront your officials and people that are in your area. You know what I'm saying? Just come out and confront them, and you know, and find out why they aren't, you know what I'm saying, handling certain issues that you may have concerns about. There will be a panel discussion with question and answer sessions to follow, and the community vendors and resources will be available. So please come on out that day and check us out. And listen, Community United Focus Cuffs, as you guys, we are out in the field. Me and my man, Kay Newsom, we always out in the field. We are out there trying to aid people in every way that we can. So let us help you, and if we can help you, just let us help you. You know, anything that we can do for you, we would love to do. And we do feed the poor. We have events where we feed the community, and things of that nature. Okay, our guest is here. Our guest should be joining us right about now. It's my bro, Mike. You know, are you there,
yo,
bro?
What's happening? What's going on, bro?
Hey, little bro. Peace, peace, peace. Alhamdulillah.
Peace.
Alhamdulillah.
For sure,
well,
man.
Thanks for joining us tonight, man. Hey, bro, I miss you today,
yeah.
too, man.
Hey.
I miss you the past few days, man.
Yeah, man. This is crazy right here, man. I appreciate this deal, bro.
Hey, man. You know what? No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you allowing us to have this opportunity to speak with you and obtain some of the wisdom, man, of, you know what I'm saying, some of your, you know, and the ventures in which you proceeded through, you know, and what you made it where you are, but like you, and, you know,
for
you're
sure.
a successful entrepreneur, a black man in our community, and you're a young man. How tell the people? Can you tell the people how old you are, bro?
Yeah, I'm 40, well, man. I'm 40.
40 years old.
40.
Yeah.
And moving forward.
Yeah. That's right. Hey, listen, and you know.
Yeah.
I'm proud to say you're my bro. You know, you're my brother, man. And you know, I'm really grateful to have the opportunity by the Lord's grace to have a man like yourself in my presence, you know, and to be able to have, you know, your advice and your support in moving forward in my life. You know, you've been a true inspiration to me, and I felt it very important for people to know your story. So, look, if you don't mind, would you just – share with the people, like, you know, what is it exactly that you do? What is it that you, what is your business? What is your entrepreneurship? What are you?
Right now, I'm got the E&M Barber Lounge on Lafayette Boulevard, 2515 Lafayette Boulevard in Norfolk. Of course, next to Authentically Me, the 2517 Lafayette Boulevard. You know, that and working on, you know, Cosmic Streams, having a streaming platform, and, you know, working on crypto investments pretty much is what I do.
So how long have you been a barber? Like, how long have you been cutting hair?
Man, I've been a barber for a while, probably like 8+ years, but I really started taking it serious, probably like the last maybe about 5 years or so. At first I didn't think it made any money. You know, so many people was telling me, you know, get a real job, you need to
right.
do this and you need to do that. But yeah, for about 8+ years, close to like 10 years.
Do you know, sir, I don't know if you know this, but in the African American black community, entrepreneurship in barbershops have been the foundation of many establishments. Many
True
establishments. And it's been like the staple of the community, barbershops in the African American community. Now, what are the type of things of impact that your barbershop is bringing to the Lafayette Boulevard area? What are you doing in that area?
Oh wow, man. Like, you know, the pitch is so much broader than, you know, barbering and you know, cutting people's hair. We like building relationships and building networks. Getting to actually personally, you know people that's in the community and networking with the community. You know, as you know, because you've done quite a few, you know, events there, and we had a few events there, you know, pop-up stops and, you know, letting people come out, you know, bringing tables for free, you know, just, you know, all out of pocket, just wanting to see other people prosper and other people, you know, see other people's dreams, you know, manifest. So, and definitely bringing, you know, that culture, you know, that cultural vibe back, and those old, you know, those back in the day ethics that we used to have and something to be proud of, man.
That's what's up. Hey, yo, that's real, little brother. I really commend you for that, because that's true. You know, that's what's missing in our community. One of the things I noticed about working with you in the barbershop, as a lot of people may not know, you know, you partnered and you brought me in to work in the barbershop with you, and I appreciate that, bro, recognizing my old head skills. You know, my old head skills, you beehive cuts in the boxes, you know, the gumbo phase I can, you know, bring in. But, you know, one of the things I recognize and I really appreciate about being in the barbershop with you is how you address the young people. You know, can you share with us, like, why is that important to you?
Yeah, the youth is definitely our focus, because I take it back to the ancients. You know, each generation was a lot smarter than the generation before them. You know, and that's how the great dynasties is built, when the generations that's before you is taught well, and then they can add their knowledge, and the knowledge continues on. And I just think that the youth, we shouldn't downplay the youth. The youth has so many misguides and, so many influences that we should keep in mind and have compassion for the youth, and have a lot of patience and understanding with it and what in the youth, you know, what we're trying to teach them and we're trying to show them in this economy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Teach them now, you know.
That's right. Yeah, because it's important. It's like a lot of children today, they don't see themselves being a businessman. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, like, you know, I think having the opportunity to walk into a barbershop and see a man of your stature, you know, associating and affiliating with them on the level that, you know, you reach out. I see, man, I watch you. Like, I watch you firsthand, bro. Like, you know, you reach out to these kids, man. I've seen you from ages of, like, maybe six on up, man. Like, you know, and what are some of the things that you do in the barbershop that may be, you know, inviting to the people? What are some of the things that you know?
First of all, letting people know, like, first of all, that they're people, you know what I'm saying? People before cash, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are in business, you know, people are valuable, because without the people, you don't have no business. You know what I'm saying? So it's always keeping the people first, and especially when dealing with the youth, just being careful that you're not putting anything out there that would influence them on a level to go left, because we already been down those paths, so there's no need of us introducing to them anything, you know, other than, you know, progress, so that they mind could develop in a proper perspective and they can become leaders.
Right.
The whole thing is to make everybody leaders, you know what I'm saying, in their own right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, you, hey, listen. But see, that's the thing that, you know what I'm saying, I see a lot. I recognize, like, a lot of times when I speak to, you know, the elders of the community, the parents, you know, and people who first thing they say, oh, you know what, man, these kids today, I ain't got time for them. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, like, we forget we were once children. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I recall very, very sternly when I was coming up, that's the first thing parents used to say, you know, y'all kids today, boy, y'all just terrible. We wasn't like that when we was growing up. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I even still hear from my mother today. Like, she would say things like, your generation is, boy, they terrible. We wasn't like that. But what makes your barbershop an ideal place for, like, a father or a son or a mother to bring their son or their child into your barbershop?
Oh, man, just the culture and the etiquette. I think the etiquette that we bring, you know, me and you, we in the shop, I think the etiquette that we bring and the education that we bring in our conversations and them seeing what men conversations are. Men etiquette is, you know what I'm saying, and knowing that even though we street smart, conscious smart, book smart, however we want to go, that they can see that even on all levels that we still presenting a particular, you know, ethics as men there for them to see, and also looking around, just looking at the cultural aspect, you know the paintings and what's playing, the, you know, particular
Black
music
art,
and Yeah, the yeah. art and, you know, seeing HBCU,
yeah, because,
you know what
because
I'm saying?
I noticed because I love one of the things I love about working with you, bro, is like you're so conscious of the people. Like when people walk in, we might be listening to something like on the YouTube or something, and you'll instantly change the vibe to make sure that you're not, you know, disturbing the concept of what people are taking with themselves when they leave. You know, and I like you always, like if there's videos on the song, you always are conscious of the content of those videos or those songs, the visual of what's being, you know, and it's, you know, I think if more parents gave more attention to that, we also would have a little more different, you know what I'm saying, perspective of content coming into our children. Can you tell me something? It said here that entrepreneurship in 2019, the rate of new entrepreneurs among blacks in the U.S. residents was 0.24%, or 240 new entrepreneurs for every 100,000 adults each month.
Wow.
What percentage? Wow. Yeah, this is what they said. They was asked the question, what percentage of African Americans are entrepreneurs? And they said only 240 of every 100,000 adults each month. So how do you feel that you bring upon an impact of encouraging other black entrepreneurs to move forward with your persona and your example that you present?
Relating to the people, like before the entrepreneurial ship in the business, it's the ground story. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's the ground story that people can relate to and get that inspiration from the ground story. So if you have a good, you know, a good ground story that people can relate to, like, wow, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's real. That's something I can, you know, relate to, or I know somebody like that, or I understand that journey right there. Then they have to understand it from the ground, because if they just look at it from like the business perspective and just see the business, they may it could be discouraging.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It can become discouraging. Or it can become inspiring, depending on the person. But definitely the grounding of how things came to be.
So where did it all begin for you? Like, where did it all begin for you to decide to yourself that you wanted to, you know, open this business and pursue, you know, your own legitimate barbershop? What inspired you, bro?
It started with me. I was locked up and, you know, just on my way home, and I had like lost all my good time and brought all my time to the gate because I was just so frustrated being just incarcerated. Really felt like, you know, that was my lowest point. I was just so much better, a better person than where I was. When I looked
up. I'm not saying what, but how much time did you do?
I did about 8 years, 10 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mhm.
Wow.
And just ended up looking, moving forward, thinking like, okay, what is it that you're gonna do, and moving forward, what is it that you're gonna do after you get out of here? And and I was already cutting hair, so I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to just go home and cut hair. I never thought it would make money, though. Yeah, I never thought in 1,000 years that barber had made money until I went to San Diego. You know what I'm saying? Like, four clips
okay,
got me
okay.
to Cali.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
For sure.
All right. So now, when you decided to begin this, the venture into opening your own shop, like what sharpened you? Where did you feel that, you know, because did you know anything about entrepreneurship? Did you, you know,
no,
had you pursued
I was
anything?
Watching other entrepreneurs and at first I kind of was in the mentality of like a 9-to-5 gig, and then when I came home, I ran into my people's tie. It's called Space. He got his own clothing line and stuff like that. And, Space was just, driving me around to, going down the beach and stuff. And I started seeing people, and they was having their own things. Like, they was having clubs and clothing lines and podcasts and seeing all of these independent people. And I was like, wow, and I just thought it was dope. And that was kind of like the spark of that entrepreneurial, being around and seeing those people that's just like me, that's just like us do it.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. that ignited in you. Because, see, the thing that I'm most, and I don't know if the audience is paying attention to this, what we have in great common here, is that first and foremost, aside from us being family, we've both been incarcerated. But what people don't recognize from that incarceration came great ventures, came great, we became greater men. We became more positive, constructed men in the paths that we were pursuing in our lives. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on the show tonight is because, see, so many times people don't get to hear the stories of those men who have experienced these events of incarceration and have returned home to be productive citizens, who have returned home to be citizens who aid in the community upliftment, and tell me, how does that, how do you see yourself as now, returning citizen, and how do you see that, how do you see that impact upon people around you? Do you feel that, it has?
It's real to be inspired by people, having a good people that inspire you around you, like yourself. My brother, and actually seeing y'all is the beginning of entrepreneurship for real. You know what I'm saying? That's the beginning. Seeing y'all do the shows y'all was just always in the mix. Like, y'all was always independent. So that was like my first sight of people, being independent and actually, making something happen itself. But yeah, most definitely, no doubt about it. But as far as, making that transition back into society, man, it's real, man. It's tough because, it was times I was on the bus and I was staying at my grandma's house and I was sleeping in the car and, going to, this program, get bus tickets. And, people don't see that part of the game.
Right. But the thing about it is, bro, is that even though you went through those things, you never, ever strayed.
You never quit.
You never quit, bro. You never quit.
Never.
And you remain strong and firm. And here you are right now in the day, doing your thing. We got a question here from my man, Kevin. He wants to ask you a question. He says, ask the question, big bruh. You're asking and answering. Just ask and allow, okay? You call it to ask. Okay, I got you. He tells me I'm answering the question. Yo, I thought he wanted to ask you a question. So are you presently now, you got something else going on. You got the Cosmic Stream. Tell us more about Cosmic Stream, B.
Man, yo, wow. I believe in networking, man. And I believe in what I call it, link networking. Link networking is when the whole, like everybody you know and everybody in the circle and outside of the circle, it's like everybody links. Everybody links to each other. I share, you share, we share each other. You know what I'm saying? Got links and posts and businesses and, information like that. It's network linking. Link networking is what I term it. And I always been into advertisement and thinking always been into advertising and marketing. So I was like, streaming we going into the direction of streaming. Streaming is going to be very major as time go on. If you look around, no matter where you go into any business that you go in, you see people on their phones, they watching videos, and you seeing ads, and you know, you seeing videos and podcasts and audios.
So right.
Yeah, most definitely. So streaming is definitely not going anywhere. So I decided to start a streaming platform, an independent platform called Cosmic Streams. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I like, you know what I'm saying? I like that, man, because I never heard of it until you presented it to me, you know what I'm saying? And I was wow. You know,
and the most views right now up there has been, which is doing good, 3,000, one article.
Wow.
This is not even the video.
Wow.
The article got 3,000 views. By a lady named Leslie Cuffey, ended up getting 3,000 views, and I got so many other articles up there that's getting views, and the views are steadily going up. So we definitely getting good looks, and it's just a place where you can advertise and market, you know, share your links, add your links, you know,
right.
add page.
Right.
You can get paid on the site, create your own article, just advertise yourself, and just. You know, just stay business minded, stay promoting yourself.
Yeah, and that's I think that's very important, because in a community, in a society today, man, where, you know, it's so easy to get sidetracked, bro. You know, just before we came on, I was talking about like how the black community, you know, how we have to break away from these divides. You know what I'm saying? Of are you not Muslim, right?
It's like I'm Muslim, but I'm so much more. Like, there's no explaining that which I am, you know what I'm saying?
The reason why I was making that point, like, I'm Muslim. You're a pawn with your pawn. Emmanuel's a pawn when he's a pawn, but yet we are not divided in our goals, in our mission. You see what I'm saying? And so just imagine if our community could be on a greater whole, on a greater platform. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I feel like, you know, it's very important for us to set that example, that it's not about, you know, what you believe. It's about striving together to make a betterment for our community, our families, our community, and our locality, you know, because we all have to live in that. You know what I'm saying? They said, what was the percentage of African-Americans in Virginia who were entrepreneurs, right? What is the percentage of entrepreneurship in Africa? Virginia, and according to the most recent ASC, says how many black-owned businesses are in Virginia. According to the latest U.S. Census data recorded in 2002, the state of Virginia had the ninth largest minority-owned business population of minority-owned businesses. Yeah, the ninth. They had the ninth largest minority-owned business population of all minority-owned businesses statewide. More than 40,000 were black-owned and accounted for roughly $3.7 billion in sales and receipts. So that shows that black business impacts the community, right? And one of the things that you focus, I see you focus on a lot, is trying to, encourage more entrepreneurship in the community. Like, what would you say to young men and young women who are trying to venture out, but they're finding themselves meeting barriers?
Oh man, those barriers, you have to be tested to get there. You know what I'm saying? Anything that you want, you know, it's going to be a test there to make sure that that's exactly what you want to do, and you're not going to proceed forward until, you know what I'm saying, not going to proceed forward until I pass the test. You know what I'm saying? Can't get discouraged with the test. The test's gonna be there, but definitely, you know, knowing that those tests gonna be there, and that. But those tests is for the grooming.
What kind of barriers have you met in the pathway? Like, what are you some of the barriers that tried to that you felt were placed into discouraging
agreement?
Continue.
Leasing agreements and licensing, man. Like, the people, those gatekeepers, man. You know, it's real, and you can person can easily be discouraged. You know, when they run into those gatekeepers that's holding
especially
your success up.
Yeah, man, especially in Virginia.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
That's why I feel that Sister Nicole Sanders. I think I think that it's very important what she's doing and trying to break some of those revenue issues, you know what I'm saying, by running for commissioner of revenue. But so how difficult was it for you? Was it difficult for you to get started? Like,
it was difficult, man. It was, first it was the mental aspect of, you know, decide like, man, can I do this? Can I make this happen? Like, you know, because you're seeing a lot of failures, but you're also seeing a lot of successes, and you just wondering if you one of the ones that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Just to add on to that last statistic we had, the state that was most that had the highest members of black-owned businesses is Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis has the highest number of black-owned businesses in the United States at just over 43%. Yeah, that's something. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So we can do a lot better. What do you think? Some of the things that we can put in place to encourage more young black and more not even young, but black people in general to get out and establish themselves as entrepreneurs?
Definitely educating oneself on finances, educating one on banking, economics, you know, leasing, especially those leasing agreements, contracts. You know, things of that nature be like the foundation of, you know, starting a business, these little state bylaws and, you know, just all the little intricate stuff that it takes to following directions, yo.
For
real, you know what I'm saying? Got me a long way doing exactly what that paper say, because if it doesn't, it's like they'll send the paperwork back so quick, man, when you're trying to get certain licensing and leasing agreements and stuff like that. So everything got to be exact by the, you know, zoning. You got zoning, and then you got the face in the building if that's not approved. It's just so much that go into that. But it can happen. You just got to stay persistent.
I think that's something that we all can take a hold of, and no matter what we pursue, because, you know, doing things the right way is important.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of trying to find shortcuts and little quick avenues, you know, what we used to. Because we people who like things in haste. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes having that patience, you know, is difficult. You know what I'm saying? When you're trying to start a business and you want everything to jump off. You know, I know that firsthand. You know, I'm in this grind, man, and it's difficult. You know, it's difficult paying bills and trying to come through. But one of the things I'm grateful to bring you on this show is, I gotta tell you straight up, bro, like, you know, I love you, and you are such a magnificent dude, man. Like,
man, I appreciate that.
God, bro, you know, being around you, bro, like, you know, you my little bro, man, and it's like,
yeah,
I see how you like to protect me and how you like to always advise me, you know, and it's magnificent, bro. Like, you know, you grow up and you see a lot of the mistakes you made in life, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you just don't see where you, you know, five, if you'd have asked me what I was doing, what I would be doing 5 years from now, I would have never told you that I would have been having my own little holistic shop or, you know, working in a partner with my brother in a barbershop. And, you know, I would have never, you know, but, you know, having men like yourself and Emmanuel around me, man, who are really upright people. Really, man, it, like you got me emotional here because, you know, I can't even, the blessings of having you in my life as a brother is something that is irreplaceable. It's irreplaceable.
Word, man.
So I want to thank you, man. And, you know, I'm grateful that I could share this with the world and, you know, that you are some person that I love dearly. And I owe a great deal of gratitude to you for your support and always, you know, having my back, man, and helping me to stand strong, you know. With that, we're gonna take a little 3 minute break, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna see if we got any callers in that would like to ask any questions to Mike and myself. But you know, Mike is here, so please, you know, utilize him. Utilize him, you know, work that brain, you know, because he got a lot of wisdom, you know. He's a young brother, but he has a lot of wisdom. And, you know, I learn from him every day, and I'm sure you can learn from him. So if there's any questions that you'd like to, you know, call in about, this is your time. Take the time to call in. And even if you just got something you want to share with us,
you just know us.
You know what I'm saying? If you just know who we are, you just want to call in and say some positive things, you know, please do. We're going to come back. We're going to listen to a little intermission real quick, and then we're going to return in about 3 minutes, and we're going to see what's going on the lines, okay? So we'll be right back, y'all.
Come on,
Mike,
man.
Just hold on for a minute, okay? We'll be right back, bro.
Yeah. January 2:1, when two became one, when the Most High blessed me with the most incredible one. I closed my eyes as a reminisce about that very first dance, that very first kiss. It's easy to see how to believe how a simple dance become a lifetime of love and romance. So first I want to thank your mother and father for giving birth to my gift, my soulmate, my best friend, my special wish. You see, you held me down when the world was trying to knock me down. Took me to a higher place when I was standing on shaky ground. So I'm forever indebted and I never regret it. I've turned my life around and I never forget it. Thanks for being the love of my life and I love this life that we live in. And thanks for staying in my life because together we as one, we're winning. That's why I dedicate this to my boo, because I'm dedicated to my boo. All the things I've seen and done, all the things that I've been through, no one ever, I mean never, held me down quite like you. That's love. Now I never confessed to be a player, although I had my share of love games a few times before. But now that I have you in my life, I don't have to play those games anymore. I know no relationship is perfect, but what we have is well worth it. For richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, to death do us part. See, we was blessed from the very start. So many fall in love for all the wrong reasons. We fell in love all four seasons. And like I told you from the start, I'm just trying to be the best black man I can be. But I need a strong black woman that truly understands me. From day one, you show and prove to be genuine. Smiling like sunshine, kisses tasting like cinnamon. Yes, we took our time, we learned to walk with each other and talk to each other. We learned to love each other and trust each other. But most of all, we learned if we pray together, we stay together. That's why I dedicate this to my boo, because I'm dedicated to my boo. To make a long story short, wow, I guess I just love you. That's love.
by your beauty, seduced by your intellect, motivated by your wisdom, but it's your loyalty and trust that are most passionate. I know this is God sent, a love supreme, divine and royal. We stand together as king and queen. So many spend a lifetime looking, searching, seeking to find a true, real, loving understanding like yours or mine. That's why we should treasure this pleasure that no other can measure, and stay focused on us and only God we trust, and let no other person, place, or thing come between us. Yes, I put my life on this. Trust and believe. There's nothing in the world that we can't achieve. So let's take this to the next level, and the next level, and the next level after that. Forward is our journey, love, and there's no turning back. That's why I dedicate this to my boo, because I'm dedicated to my boo. All the things I've seen and done, all the things that I've been through, no one ever, I mean never, held me down quite like you. That's love.
Translation for those of you who don't know, and I'm speaking in Arabic, and I'm saying all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, God. Okay, well, Mike, you still with me, bro?
Yeah, for sure, no doubt.
Okay, okay. To my callers and listeners, if you would like to participate and speak in, just press one. Just press one, and we will definitely plug you on in. And do we have any call? Do we have a call in, Jay?
We'll be nice.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Show something to say out there and add on to the reasoning.
Yeah, I know somebody got something to say, you know. And I just like everybody to remember, you know, the truth is everyone who says they support you is not a supporter of you. So keep that in mind. The truth.
True indeed.
All right? Look, everyone who says that they support you.
You have a caller, brother.
Okay, let me see who this is calling right here.
All right. Oh, 0063.
Yo.
Hello?
Hello?
Peace. Yeah,
what's up,
this case up.
You know it. I'm always tuned in, man. I'm always tuned in, man. Yeah, good to hear from you, brothers, man. I'm always tuned in, you know, man.
Hey, listen, man. I know you got some wisdom because you know you always been a grinder, man. What would you share with us, man? As you know, what would you share with the people, man? As to you know what they should strive to you know implement in their struggles while trying to move forward in the business, man.
Malah, man, it's like this, man. You know me, man. I'm just gonna put it like this, right? For the business aspect of things, I've been through it young. You know what I'm saying? Young, Malah. You know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I done went from clothing store to clubs, barbershops, right down to Virginia.
Right.
You know, I see you was reading stats about Virginia. You know, black people in Virginia. Business owners, I done had all that, but Malah, I did it for all the wrong reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Me personally, I'm hiding money. I'm doing one thing, hiding money, to where I wasn't focused on them businesses. It didn't mean nothing to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like it's a great thing now. How like you know like your barber, you know like your brother Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, man.
And how y'all focusing on that right now? And that was a mistake that I made. That was a mistake that I made, that I didn't stay focused on that to where I could be sitting back living off that today.
Yeah, that's right.
It was like, you know, you want to call it white collar, whatever, crime, embezzlement. I'm hiding money.
Mm.
Right down in Virginia.
Right.
all that took place in Virginia. You know what I'm saying, Milan?
Wow.
And it's I got caught up in Virginia. You know, I did my bid, the Commonwealth. You know, I know. You know, they gave me 50 years down there.
Mm. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it, what makes me, like, I don't knock no brother. I support anybody that's everybody that's doing something that's black. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But
yeah.
what I missed out on with owning all that shit, Mala, my family, my kids. I missed out on all that shit. I gave them everything that they wanted, but I didn't spend no time with them.
You're saying the time is valuable.
Very well. Like you saying, how you do for the kids? How you do for them kids? Like Mike, brother Mike, how you say you do? You know the kids and all that. I did all that for the kids, doing them businesses and all that. I gave all that.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I was hiding things. We're doing it. It was a front. It was like meaningless. I don't even get no points for doing that. No, you know what I mean? I had the barbershop. Mm-hmm. Me and Big Bro had a barbershop. We had a little computer room in the back for the kids to come do their homework and all that. But we did it for the wrong reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We was doing all that for the wrong reasons. So, like what I'm saying, like what y'all brothers doing, stay focused, stay on top of that, and stay on them kids, man. You get you a program going. Kid of the month, he get his free haircut. He might get a little couple of dollars put in his pocket
because
he done did good in school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I did all that, but it bounced back to me. You know, the bounce back to me, what made me like fall back from all that? My oldest daughter say, "Dad, you did everything for us coming up. We ain't need none of that. We need you. We need
real
you.
Talk.
You know
real
what I'm
talk.
Saying?
Yeah.
And that's my oldest daughter told me that. That's what made me like fall back. Like, you know what? I got to go back to Patterson and be with my kids, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm just laid back and enjoying the grandkids. They grown. You know what I'm saying? But this
is
doing what y'all doing, especially for them kids, man, because that's our future. You know what I'm saying? It's our future, bro.
Yeah. I appreciate this.
Can I ask you a question right quick?
You're more than welcome, bro.
I don't mean to cut you off, Mike, but me and you met. You probably don't even know it.
Yeah.
Me and you met. I came to the barbershop. Yeah, Grant. No, maybe a day or two after the grand opening, while I was at work.
Oh yeah, and I was up there.
Yeah. You was there. You was there, right? The first barber there, right? Correct.
Yeah,
but I went to the other side, to the other store, and dude was calling Malah, trying to get in touch with Malah, the other brother. But I met
you.
Oh, that's what's up, man. Respect. In your journey of businesses, right? And what as far as the business is concerned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular thing you would recommend as far as, you know, banking or, you know, just investments in anything? Because what happens is a lot of people, I try to stay grounded with the people. Now, a lot of people, they have businesses, but they might not have a lot of money. You know, they might not have $10,000, $20,000 to throw somewhere. It might be people with businesses that might got a little extra $500 or, you know, a little extra three.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But speaking to them people, like.
It's like this. Let me tell you one thing about a business. It's never a flip. When you're in the other gang, you're looking for a flip. In a business, you're looking for a profit. You're looking for a profit. You feel
Word.
What I'm saying? You're looking for a profit.
Yeah.
If you spend $1, you want to make $3. That's it. That's the flip. If you spend $1, you make $1.50. It's a profit. Looking for a profit in a business. You know what I'm saying? You're not looking for a flip. You're not looking to spend $1. You're going to make $2. No, that's not what you're looking for. It's all about the profit. You know what I'm saying? And with that profit, you become a budget. You know how to become a budget. Because when you get a flip, you have no budget. Because you go back looking for that flip again tomorrow because you can get that flip. You know you can get it. So you don't have a budget. So you're living outside your means. You come outside of your means. You know what I'm saying? When you're making a flip and not a profit. When you're making a profit, you're living inside your means. You know what I'm saying? You dig where I'm coming from? So I'm just throwing the two different things of the game and a business.
Yeah.
When you're in that game, you're looking for a flip. So you spend a dollar, you're looking to make $2. When you're in that business, you're making it look a profit. You spend a dollar, as long as you make 50 cents, you made a profit.
Woo!
It's a difference in that. You know what I'm saying? It's a big difference between the two. Don't never look for a flip where you spend a dollar, you want to make two in a business. You look for a profit. You know what I'm saying? You look for that profit.
Sure.
And one thing that you touched on, Mike, what you got to do, that network. You got the network. You got to. Today is easy. Today is much easier. When I was into it, it was all about footwork. Yeah, people got to walk around passing. They got to pay this person, pay that person, pay this person. Walking around, giving out flyers and all that. It's much easier today. You network. You sit there and play. You sit right at home. Your life is in your hand, that telephone. That's your life right there. It's right in your hand. You network. You know what I'm saying? You put that network. You put it out there. You give a little to get a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Get them kids something, man. Who need haircuts mostly today? Who need haircuts today? Kids mostly, not grown folks. I could sit here and go 3 weeks without a haircut. A parent ain't going to let their kid go 3 weeks without a haircut. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't let your son go without a haircut.
Most definitely not.
So that's where it's at. You know what I'm saying? And it's like I ran into – it's like right here where I grew up at in Patterson. I had one. They had about four barbers in this barbershop, right? They had one barber. He ain't cut nothing but kids' hair. He made more money than the other three barbers, you know? Them kids is where it's at, and that network. Keep that network going. You got to network. You got to. With anything you're doing, you got to network. People getting rich off the internet. Off internet. We didn't have that. I didn't have none of that when I was into all those things. I didn't have that network, you know what I'm saying?
True indeed.
You got people, restaurants. You got people sitting at home, go order their food right off the line right now. Bring it right to them. Uber Eats and all that. It's networking. It's where the money at, yo. Keep network and give back to that community, yo. Give back to them. Let me tell you.
Indeed.
I'm gonna make this long story short. I got caught up in what I was doing. Malaga. I don't know what happened.
Well, go ahead.
I got caught up in
what I was doing. We still on the podcast.
Yeah, I got caught up in what I was doing, right? I got caught up in what I was doing. When them people came and got me, I had so many parents in the neighborhood there to testify and say what I did and gave back to the neighborhood. You know what that judge sat back and said? It's all good. I appreciate it, what he did for them kids, but he did it with drug money. So, you know, it's like that goes back to, like I said, a profit is better than a flip.
You'll live longer
off a profit than a flip.
Man, I'm definitely going to keep that in mind, brother. And definitely appreciate it.
Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. You live longer off. Yeah, Malai, you back?
Yeah. Hey, I got lost in the cosmic somewhere. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know what was so beautiful about, I was sitting here listening to y'all.
Right.
But, you know, see, this is what I mean about us, right? See how God has enhanced us even though we don't even realize how, you know, the hustle made you a businessman even when you didn't intend to be a businessman.
Right.
And see, when I was sitting here listening to you, man, I felt like I was listening to some type of financial instructor.
Advisor,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, advisor,
you know.
Yeah.
And on the real side, like, the
real side
the thing that I, yeah, that's why I try to get, you know, one of the things that I try to get young brothers to realize is that, man, the potential that you have. You know, see, a lot of times we go into, for example, we open up magazines and we'll see, you know, the history of, you know, Donald Trump's or what's the guy, Elon Musk,
Elon Musk.
Yeah,
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear
Bill
about
Gates
all of these.
And all
of
them. Yeah.
Bill Gates, Alan Greenspan, all of them.
Yeah, right.
So a lot of the kids, they don't, you know, black children don't see their faces in them faces. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they
see their faces in the faces of the hustlers that was growing up on their block.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, getting that grind.
And you know what, bro?
To add up, my bad, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know what? To add on to that, what you're saying? That once you strip down all of that corporate stuff and all that paperwork, it's really the grind.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly,
once you get rid of all the paperwork and all of that and get down to just people, it's the hustle.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I know I'm so grateful for my experience is through going through the decision, through going through prison, is that it made me determine that I was no longer going to be separated from my family. It made me determine that I was no longer going to be a slave to the state. It made me determine that I was no longer going to be a slouch. It made me determine that I was no longer going to be depicted as just, you know, your average dude on the block. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It made me determined. It made me determined to be successful in the manner in which I perceive myself, not being validated by society. You understand? And this is why I look right now. My first shows that I'm trying to have in this first month of November are pointed at men who have went to prison, got out of prison, and succeeded in living life, you know what I'm saying, in the legal realms. You know what I'm saying? And proceeded in doing what they had to do to take care of their families and sacrifice it, which, you know, we don't get the praises for that. You know, all we hear is, you know, how we fallen victim to parole and violation of probation and all of this crazy, the recidivism rate is rising. Like, yeah, that's a bunch of crap. Tell the people the truth. The truth kicks the brains out of falsehood, as I like to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And tonight is presenting truth. We're presenting two young men right here who, you know what I'm saying, and myself, who have went through what we went through, but we are now good fathers, outstanding men to our families and our community. Do we have any other caller, Randy?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Word.
So what we're gonna do is, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna close this show. We're gonna end the show here. I want to thank my brother Mike for calling in and giving us this outstanding show tonight. It was beautiful. And I love you, bro, once again, and I thank you for your support. And I want to thank my main man, K-Shaw. This is my baby bro right here.
That's what's up. I got family in Jersey, so it's all love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, he came to the shop when I just came home. He came to the shop and hollered at y'all, man, and he didn't get to see me. But K-Shaw is my family. And, you know, like I tell y'all plenty of times, I give a mass salute to all my brothers from 17th Ave who I grew up with, you know what I'm saying? And you notice, I'm telling y'all right now, we brothers. So if you're trying to run down on one of us, you might be in trouble. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. So, you know, that's that 17th Ave love, man. It's brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and when I say run down, it don't have to be physical. I don't care how you coming. You better come right.
It might be a good reasoning. It might just be a good reasoning.
Yeah.
Don't get your mind right, though.
Yeah. I retire, man. I lay low, but I keep big things. I keep big things to keep you up off me, though. That's just
as long as we live it. Listen, as long as we live it right, we take care of the people we love, man. That's what it's about.
For sure, most definitely.
You know, this was a beautiful show.
Yeah.
Everyone, please join us again next Tuesday, and we're going to have a special guest on. I'm going to try to have Brother Yahya Gaston on. And I hope everyone will
hold
join
on,
us next week. Yeah, Lil Yahya Gaston. Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And we're going to try to have him on, and we're going to talk to this brother. He's outstanding. This guy, man, is doing, like, he came out here, did his thing. He's got a home out here in Chesapeake. He moved his mother and father out here. He takes care of his parents. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's outstanding. He's moved his sister out here. He takes care. Like, it's out. You got to hear this guy's story. Like, you know, it's like, really, man. So join us next week at 7 o'clock, Point of Impact. Yo, hosted by yours truly, you know, the brother, the sincere brother from Paterson, New Jersey. And let me just be clear, yo, I love Paterson, New Jersey. I love Norfolk, Virginia. I love Virginia Beach. Yo, I'm rocking it out here, and I love it, man. I love the people out here. It's beautiful. But I love home, man, and I love Paterson, and it ills my heart to know that we, you know, we still have a lot of struggles. But guess what? We're going to get through that, too. And in closing, I want to say to everybody, remember, the battle itself must be won before the war against another can begin. Okay? The battle itself must be won before the war against another can begin. So let's get to working on our hearts before we think about changing somebody else's heart, all right? And with that, yo, you know what I'm saying? We're going to close. I want to give love to my mother for supporting me and aiding me, and let everybody know I love Miss Brenda Hansford. That's the love of my life. And to my family, everybody out there, I love you all. And you know that my cousin Finney, we buried her last Friday. I miss you, Finney, and I love you. You know, and my dad, I want to tell my dad, I know he's probably not listening, but if anybody catches my father, Johnny Hansford, tell him that that I miss him and I love him, okay? But these are, you know, my people. To my brother, Emmanuel Asu, he ain't calling again tonight. I hope he all right. He be out there grinding. So listen,
yeah.
I want to thank my guest, my brother Mike. I want to thank our guest caller in, my brother K. Sean. And listen, I want to thank the brother Randy J. Sean for handling behind the scenes. Randy J. Sean Jackson handling behind the scenes, making sure our broadcast was done right. You know what I'm saying? Our producer, he's on his job. And listen, man, we love you all. And everybody stay true to yourself first. All right? Always remember that. Stay true to yourself first, because if you lie to yourself, you're definitely lying to everybody else. So, you know what I mean? So remember, all right? Stay up. The battle of self will be won before the war against another can begin. Assalamu alaikum, and everybody be at peace and be safe. Good night.
Peace. All right, Ben. Yeah. Walk with me.
Come take a walk with me, grab my hand. Let me school you, little bro, make you understand. You gotta run the streets to become a man. Just stay in your own lane, you could buy some land. I see the fire in your eyes. Don't fall into the trap, in the trap you can die. So many soldiers stand down in the sky. Pay attention to the vibe, that's what's keeping you alive. Have patience, just talk to me. Get out of line, you get chalked for free. I won't let you fall if it's up to me. And they say misery like companies. Don't let them put you down on companies. You know I got your back, you look up to me. It's okay to show love, but cautiously. It's okay for men to cry, but not normally. Let's start.
Yeah. Walk with me.
Relax, nigga, take a seat. You be acting all hard, you ain't from the street. Got a good family and somewhere to sleep. Nigga, I was house to house with nowhere to eat. I don't get you niggas, These shoes can't fit you niggas. You can play it off. Looking in your eyes, see you mask off.